Philemon 20 says, yes, brother, or in our case, sister, let me have joy from the Lord. No, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. I don't know about you ladies, but I did not even know that verse was in the Bible until some time ago. And I was like, oh, that is so beautiful. Let me read it again. Yes, sister, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Now, I think, can we see? Is that better? Okay. I think as Mennonite women, typically it's much easier for us to give and to serve than it is for us to receive. Would you agree or disagree? Yeah. One day I was out running errands, and I was just kind of going from place to place, walking down the street, and I just distinctly heard from the Lord, call your friend June and ask her to pray a prayer of blessing on you. That had never happened to me before in all my long life. And I was like, okay, Lord, I'll do that. I've never done that before. I've never had you tell me to do that before. So I called her. I was like in the next store. I was in a 99-cent store. And so she didn't hesitate. She's like, all right, I'll do that for you, Sandy. And she just started praying over me, just blessings. And it was the most beautiful thing. Like, I was just crying and crying. And I remember walking up the street, then going back home and just going, I feel so loved from the Lord. Like, that's really what it did for me. Like, I just received God's love. And it was so ironic. Like I said, that I'd never done something like that before. To walk up to a friend, well, call her, and say, can you please pray a blessing over me? And then just to receive, like I was standing in the store crying, you know, like all of this, and I didn't really care what anyone thought. So I kind of stand out in my neighborhood anyway, so what's new, you know? So it was so powerful. I really, really felt loved by God. So why do we need encouragement? I mean, here we are, we're Christian women. Aren't we overcomers? Aren't we supposed to be victorious, right? Yes, that's true. But scripture also says that we will have trouble in this life, and we all kind of testify to that. Like, the Bible clearly says, I mean, we shouldn't even expect an easy life, right, in some sense. So sometimes we get tired, sometimes we get overwhelmed, and there's just difficulties that can weaken our determination to follow Jesus. If we're really honest about it, sometimes when life comes pressing in, it can just weaken our determination to follow Jesus. So that's why we need to encourage each other. So today I'm going to use a definition from Dr. Larry Crabb on encouragement. I have it on your handout. It's this. Encouragement is the kind of expression that helps someone want to be a better Christian, even when life is rough. I like that. Okay, so that's the definition we're going to use today. So I'm going to read from Hebrews 10, 19 to 23, and this is a call to persevere. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So a summary. One, we have boldness. We have confidence to enter the most holy place because of Jesus' blood. Two, we can come close to God in full assurance of faith with no guilt or shame as free women. Isn't that exciting? And three, come what may, this is our hope. We are holding on to it because God promised it and he is faithful. So that's the truth, and I'm sticking with it. Like, for me, that's just powerful. That's so encouraging. So out of that context, we can encourage. So moving on in Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. Consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And then on to Hebrews 3, 12 to 14. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. That is huge. It's saying if we stop believing in the living God, we can allow our hearts to be darkened by the lies of sin. And that is really sobering. But then there's a positive spin on it. And that is that we can help to keep each other, our fellow Christians, we can keep that from happening to them, and that's by encouraging each other daily, as the word is saying. So we can actually keep a Christian friend from losing their faith, and that's why it's so important to encourage. And so, to me, it sort of takes the whole thing of we got to encourage each other to a whole new level when it's about inspiring your fellow sister. Okay, you got to stay in this fight. You've got to keep going. You know, even though it's tough, do not lose your faith. That's what this is saying in Hebrews. So we have unique privileges as Christians. You know, any group of compatible people, you know, whether it's like a group of women that love knitting, right? Golf, whatever. They can get together and have a nice time, right? They can enjoy themselves. But when Christians get together, it's like they can beef up that whole experience. And their social enjoyment goes to a whole new level because it's dealing with eternal significance going on, right? And so it's not just, we have something in common, but it can go much deeper than that. Real encouragement happens when we encourage out of love to another person's fear. Let me repeat that. Real encouragement happens when we encourage out of love to another person's fear. Encouragement requires involvement in people's lives. So you're going to have to move towards people. You know, you can't just stick on an island. It's a sacrificial giving that refuses to consider the cost of the gift. And if you're going to be able to encourage other people, you're going to have to make it an effort to understand them. You're going to have to know them well enough, or if you don't know them at all, you're just going to have to pray that the Lord shows you how you can encourage them in a way that will minister into their fear, into their hurt, and drive them closer to Jesus. And then you're going to have to respond to those needs. So how to get practical, like, I love being practical. I'm just going to take the five love languages. You probably are familiar with those. Have you guys heard of them? I'm sure. We've all been around. So, and we're just going to look at those and practically say, you know, these are areas I could do to encourage the people in my life. So the first one is words of affirmation. I don't know about you ladies, but that's my number one. I mean, I kind of joke and say I'm high maintenance. I like all five, you know, but words of affirmation is my primary one. And, you know, even when I was studying for this, I asked one of my daughters, what do you think of when you think of encouragement? She goes, words of affirmation, but it's also her primary love language. So that's what ministers to her. But words are powerful. They can encourage, they can discourage, or they can do nothing. Shallow words accomplish little. Death words discourage, and life words encourage. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So there's a lot of power there, for good or for evil. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. So one way we can use our words to encourage is by thanking people. And there was a big Christian ministry organization, actually here in Lancaster, that one of my friends asked him, how do you keep people giving to your ministry? Because people would just give and give and give to this big ministry. And his answer just really made me go, what? And the more I thought of it, I'm like, he's right. His answer was simply this. He said, you keep thanking people. Like, wow. And that doesn't go just, I mean, in that context, it was with finances. But thanking people goes all the way across the board. It works for acts of service. Thanking them validates what they are doing. It says it's important, and it says it's needed. And they know it's appreciated then, too, if you actually go and thank them. So just pause for a moment, ladies, and think, When was the last time I thanked that person in my small group or whatever you do here at this church for preparing snack again? Or the Sunday school teacher for putting time into studying and teaching again? Or your pastor for preaching again? You know, like, I think we can just get in ruts and we take people for granted and we take what they do for granted. But just thank them. It could mean the world to them and keep them from going down into some deep discouragement. When was the last time you thanked your husband? You know, the other day, my husband really blessed me. He called me, and he's like, I don't even remember what he said, but he's like, I just wanted to call and let you know I appreciate you. I mean, that was the only reason he called me. It was beautiful. You know, it really was. It was super sweet. He took the time for no other reason just to tell me that he liked me, which is good. We've been married for 22 years. But it's meaningful, and it doesn't even take long. Or your kids. I, for myself, sometimes I have to pull myself back, and I think I'm always, like, on them for something. If you know what I mean, like, come on, pick up. And why are you this? And, like, you know, if you pull yourself back, you think, listen to yourself, Sandy. What do you say? Oh, my. You know, and just then to say, Caleb, you did great. You swept up all those leaves. It can really do something for them. Even a simple sentence to someone, even here today, you look beautiful. Like, sometimes we think these thoughts, but we don't go tell them. Well, if they can't read your thoughts, it really didn't help them, right? And they can't read your thoughts. Or just saying, you are such a good mom. I mean, all of us as moms, I think, can identify that some days we feel like failures, right? And we wonder if our kids are ever going to turn out in spite of us, right? And for me, if a friend says, you are doing great, it can be like, are you serious? Thank you. You know, like, it really can give you that push to keep going. And honestly, this can be the prevention that's needed to prevent maybe a big conflict, with it, whether you're on a team or in a marriage or whatever. But giving those words of affirmation and thanking can do wonders, more than you can imagine. And it's easy. There again, you can jot it down on a card. The beauty of that for me is I can reread it, right? Because when someone says it to your face, it's really beautiful. But sometimes later, I'm like, what did they say? I want to rehearse that again, and I can't quite bring it back, you know. Or a text message is wonderful, just to get that meaningful, loving text message. Another way that words of encouragement, I think especially to us women, is helpful is that it can help ward off feelings or thoughts of jealousy. And I think that we as women deal with that more. Well, I'm not a man, so I've never been in their heads, so I don't know. But I just feel like as women, we can get jealous, right? We can compare. So for myself, over the years, one thing I found is if all of a sudden I feel like I'm feeling critical towards someone, if I can make myself pause long enough and kind of step back, and I call it like kind of break down the emotion, or, you know, break it open, cut it open, and be like, what is going on, Sandy? Why are you feeling so negative towards her? Often, it has been because I feel jealous of her. So then I'm like, well, this isn't her sin, it's mine. You know, why should I punish her? And then kind of distance myself and think snarky thoughts, because I'm actually jealous that she was so good at something. So the best cure I have found for that over the years is just to make myself go up to her and say, hey, you did great in whatever. And, you know, she doesn't have to know that I'm actually doing it because I was feeling critical. I mean, it wasn't her fault. Like, why don't I just go and bless her? And it has really, really helped me. Another way to use words to encourage is through using the word, scripture. And, like, you know, it's just powerful because we know the Bible is truth. And so it can cut into whatever someone's going through better than anything else. Romans 15:4 says that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Isn't that beautiful? And I had a Jamaican sister in Brooklyn. She's now worshiping at the throne of Jesus. But she became a Christian, and she fell in love with the Bible so much that, like, she would hardly even read any other books. And her thing was writing notes of encouragement to people. Like, she wrote letters to everyone in the church, no joke, letters and cards all the time. And they were always, you could count on it, at least one verse, if not more, just packed full of scripture. Like, it was just her trademark, and it was so powerful. And for me, that happens sometimes when I'm reading the word, and all of a sudden, someone's name just pops into my head. I'm like, okay, Lord, is this a word for them? And just sending them a quick text, sending them that verse, and it can be so powerful, just so encouraging for them. And there again, it's not hard. It doesn't take long. It's really easy, but powerful. Now, what about speaking words of life into someone who's messed up? Like, I think this is a lot harder, right? It's very easy for me to encourage people. I enjoy it a lot. And it's easy to do it to people who are doing the right thing, who are doing well. I just want to come up to them and high-five them and tell them, keep going. But what about that person who's messed up? Because in reality, they're going to need the encouragement more than the person who's doing well, probably. So then you're going to have to think something like this. What words will be the most effective in touching this person? What does the situation demand of me to help this person grow in Christ? And remind yourself that the person is more important than the mistake. Remind yourself that the person is more important than the mistake that they made. Another way we can use our words, and I won't go into this much because we talked about it last night, is to pray for someone. And just so powerful, again, of just lifting them to Jesus and letting them be encouraged. And then death words are so discouraging. I mean, you guys know that. I don't even think I need to say more. I don't need to give you any illustrations. We've all experienced it, right? So moving on to the second one, we'll go to gifts. We had a stillborn daughter in 2010. And it was also a very painful year in our lives. It was the most difficult year in our lives, period, going through some hard things in ministry. And the day that I was supposed to have given birth to Elizabeth Karras, my friend dropped by on my doorstep with flowers. And I remember saying to her, Linda, thank you so much. I said, it actually took some of my pain away. And it's like, well, duh, that's why she did it. But like, I actually felt it. I comprehended that it eased some of my grief that day. Like, she encouraged me with a simple gift of flowers. What about delivering a cup of coffee to your single friend at work? I mean, the smallest thing can mean so much. Remembering special birthdays. I have a friend who, like, knocked the lights out for this one. I turned 40, and she was the deacon's wife in our church, Followers of Jesus. And she decided to do a real doozy. She went, and without me knowing who it was, I forget what the day one gift was, but it was like this anonymous gift showed up at my door, and it said day one, and like had some whatever note with him. The next day was day two, and I found another gift. And it went on for 40 days, anonymous gifts. And guys, that's longer than a month, by the way. Like, that is a feat. You know, just think about, for 40 days, every day you're getting a gift to this friend. It would be like I would go to get my jacket and put my hand in my pocket to leave, and there was a gift card, you know, and I'd be like, oh. Or there would be, you know, the little girl in the apartment above us would show up with a fresh loaf of bread that, you know, she was supposed to deliver to me. It was just like, some of them were humorous, you know, a kid's book. Every time there was a verse or a funny phrase to go with it, it was so much fun. So eventually it caught on. Every day I'm going to get a gift, you know, and my kids loved it. And it was always like, what is it going to be today? You know, cute socks. And then it would be like, it was awesome. And on day 40, she showed up to identify herself at my door with 40 roses. I mean, do you think I felt loved? Do you think I felt encouraged? I was the lead pastor's wife at the time, and this is the deacon's wife. She encouraged me for 40 days. Like, that was love. It was amazing. It really ministered to me. I've had people just give into my life over the years so much. I'm so blessed. And Benita asked me if I was going to share this last night, if I was going to share this story today. I said, no, I wasn't going to. So you got me thinking. So I went home and I was laying in bed thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, I will. Last September, I'll try to give it fast. We had a me back up. We had a single mom and her four kids were living with us. And we would go every other week, 1 week with us and 1 week with another family in our church plant. And she had to work that Saturday night, and she was going to get in really late. So one of my kids said to me, "Mom, so that you don't have to wake up to let her in, I'll just sleep on the couch in the living room." I said, "Oh, that's really sweet. Thanks." Well, to make a very long story kind of short, our back door had not been locked in the basement that night. And around 4:30 in the morning, a man broke into our house, came through. And because having the single mom and her four kids living with us, it meant that two of our daughters would sleep downstairs in the basement in the family room on an air mattress. So this man came in, and we had a curtain pulled. He walked past them. He walked through our boys' bedroom. We had three boys. And he came up the steps. And so our oldest daughter was sleeping in the living room. And God, in his mercy, had her dream a dream she had never dreamt before. She dreamt that a man entered her house. And it woke her up. But then she heard him coming up the steps, and our boys never even heard him either. No one at that point was awake but our oldest daughter. And so she thought, "Oh, it's our teenage son, our 18-year-old son, Avery. He's coming upstairs to get something to eat." You know, dumb, in the middle of the night, but hey. He walked up, and she saw him. She's like, he's really tall, like our son. She thought, "Why does he have his sneakers on?" And then she realized it wasn't Avery. And you know, God was just so on her, just her train of thought, just telling her what to do. She thought, "Keep his hands away from me and scream as loud as I can." And that's what she did. And she had bruises. Her mouth was bleeding and stuff, but she just screamed and screamed, and he dropped her, you know, like. And the screaming, of course, woke up our sons, which were right below, all the scuffling of him just like running around to the couch to her and everything, you know, the fight. And her screams, you know, reached us upstairs. And then he got scared, I guess, because of the screaming. It just makes me wonder, did God send angels that he saw? I don't know, you know, why he dropped her. But then he went on back down through the steps. And she came upstairs to me, and Rich went running down. And like I told Benita, my second moment of panic was when she told me, "He's in the basement." And I'm like, "No, our other girls are downstairs, you know." Really, it's a much longer story. But to see the hand of God, that it could have, you know, she could have been raped. She could have been killed. Any of our kids could have been killed. One of our other teenage sons was like, "He could have stabbed me in the neck. I was sleeping." All that to say, you know, it went into hours of police and detectives. They sent out detectives from Manhattan, and just like hours and hours of police streaming through our house that morning. The only humorous part of it really was me going, "Wow, we had a pajama party with the NYPD, you know, for hours. We're just like, we're all in our pajamas with police and detectives." And one of the guys from church, you know, they were texting. And he was just like, "Is there anything we can do?" You know, and you're sort of like, it's not going to help to have more people in the house. We already have more people living with us. We have police all over. And just trying to, whatever you do after a traumatic event like that. But he showed up with breakfast, because this happened at 4:40 in the morning. And like with lots of food. And it was such a blessing because we had all these extra kids living with us too. So now there's like 10 kids and Rich and I, and we just needed a lot of food, you know, to get through all those hours of interviews and questioning and all of that. So I just share that story. Like, God guided him. Like, that was powerful. That meant so much. He didn't come and stay long. He met me at the door. I was in my pajamas. I can picture it. You know, I'm like, thank you, you know, all this food. But it was powerful. So, like, don't stay away when a friend is going through something so hard. Just, you know, ask God, "What can I do?" And in that moment, that was such a wonderful thing to do. Like, I just remember telling his wife, "Thank you. We just kept eating that food, you know, to feed everyone, you know," because who wants to cook in the middle of that? Moving on to acts of service. How about for the young mom who is just up to her head, you know, with whatever, what you do as young moms, just stopping in and washing her dishes, cleaning her bathroom, folding laundry, whatever. I used to be like, In my younger years of marriage and mothering, I used to be like, no, I can get this. And then I realized, that's really ridiculous, Sandy. Swallow your pride. This might be the only way you make it, you know, because I've never lived next to family. And so our church community really becomes family, but you have to allow people in. You have to swallow your pride and say, you want to help me? Thank you so much. Like, it really helps. Just accept the help, because it could be what keeps you from losing it. Offer to take a friend's kids to the park, you know, and here again, of a young mom, just to give her an hour or two break. It can mean a lot. I know. I remember those days of all the littles. Drop off dinner. Like, that is huge when you don't have to cook because something stressful is going on or you've got a busy week, whatever. There was a time when I had a neighbor who lived on my block, and she came to me with this brilliant idea. She said, Sandy, how about I cook dinner for you one night a week? Like, she would make double of what she was cooking. And then one night of the same week, I would do the same thing for her. So what it was every week, we both had a night off. And the agreement was, you weren't cooking to impress. We didn't even have to do dessert if you didn't want to, you know, because it's not meant to be a pressure. It's meant to be a help. It was wonderful. It worked perfect because we were kind of in the same season with the same amount of kids, you know. It just, you know, whatever it takes to hold up someone's hands to keep them going, you do it. And basically what I'm saying with this is just live in Christian community, right? Just enter in and live with them. Physical touch, number four. A hug can speak volumes when you have no words. Because sometimes when someone is going through something so deep and painful, you don't know what to say. And sometimes we're so afraid we're going to say the wrong thing. Because sometimes we do really say the wrong things. We do. Sometimes we say really stupid things. And for myself, I've learned the graciousness of God. He's allowed me to experience a lot of different things, a lot of different kinds of pain. Because it kind of makes me go, oh, I get it a little more. Never say that, and this would be better, you know, but like, because if you haven't walked in someone's shoes, you don't know, right? But don't let that keep you away from entering in and being there for them. But that's where a hug is so powerful. It says what words can even say. And I think, too, like, for single women, remember that for them. They don't have a husband to do that for them, you know, to give them that healthy, meaningful physical touch, right? Quality time, the last one. Just go out for coffee with someone. Invite them over and just say, how are you doing? And then sit back and listen. And it's so amazing sometimes, just that simple. If you really mean it, you'll communicate that to them and they will open up and you just need to listen. So with this quality time thing, there also is nonverbal messages that we can send with our body language, right? And so I got some tips from Dan Allender. And he says, number one, squarely face the other person. Now, don't let this become cumbersome to you, like, oh my word, now we're talking, you know, am I square? Like, that's not what he means. But he's just like, face the person, right? Act and look interested. Openly face the other person, like, tightly crossing your arms, you know, that can kind of mean like, I'm tense, I don't know about this, or you're boring me to death, whatever. Lean forward toward the other person. There again, a little common sense, you know, don't be obnoxious. But good eye contact. I think this one is huge. Like, you all have probably experienced talking to someone where as you're talking to them, you find their eyes darting off over here to another conversation or something. And to me, if they continually do that, I strongly get the message that they are more interested in the people over here than they are about me. Or they would rather be in that conversation or whatever. And I kind of think, wrap it up, Sandy, move on to someone else. Because, you know, like, they're not really there for you. They don't really care that much. So I just think it's really good just to have that eye contact saying, I care about what you are saying. This is important to me. I will validate it. And relax, of course, right? The fifth one is relax. And if you're not sure if you're doing a good job at being a good listener or not, because sometimes, honestly, we don't know. Ask someone to evaluate you, someone who knows you well, a really good friend, a coworker, or your husband, and then be willing to receive what they tell you. You know, like, do I listen well? You know, study me a little bit. Other body language that can encourage to me is a smile. And when I really thought about this was at Bible quizzing one year, as Bonita said, our kids' Bible quiz together. And one year, I sat in that quiz room and I looked at the quiz master's wife, who was the scorekeeper, and she was incredible. No joke. She was sitting at this table, you know, with all three quiz teams in front of him. And if you've been at Bible quizzing, you'll understand it's very intense. Like, it is a very competitive thing. And you have seconds to answer the question. Like, it's intense. Right, Bonita? And these poor kids, you know, like, it's a lot on them. And this scorekeeper's wife, this was her. She's sitting up there and she's like, I mean, a genuine smile, beaming the entire time at these kids. And I was like, wow, what an encourager she is. So I thought, I need to tell her what I observed. Like, I was so impressed. And I went and told her, and oh yeah, she just feels like that's what she can do for them. It was powerful, and it was easy. She just smiled at them, but it communicated, I'm for you, you can do this. So then you think about it. Well, I just want to share a verse on that. Psalm 43, verse 5 says, God is the health of our countenance. So it's very sobering to think about, okay, God, what is my countenance looking like? And if you've ever been in front of a group of people, whether it's to sing or in drama or to speak, you're going to know what I'm talking about. Like, you can see so much in people's faces, and there's power there to discourage or to encourage. So, like, take a step back, and tomorrow's Sunday, you know, when you're sitting here listening to your pastor preach, you know, evaluate yourself a little bit. What is he getting from this countenance of mine? You know, does he see me talking a lot? Does he see me yawning, looking blankly, falling asleep, maybe being on my phone? You know, God forbid. But whatever, like, it seriously is, it speaks a lot to your pastor, and it can be encouraging or discouraging. I mean, you know, any of you who are pastors' wives, just go home and ask your husband, and he will affirm that. They'll know the people who always sleep. They'll know the people who are, you know, you just kind of know who's going to be there rooting for you. So think about that. So those are the five steps, that just some practical ways that you can be encouraging people. Now, the part I can't stress too much, and I know I talked about this last night too, but it's just walking in step with the Spirit along with this. Because, ladies, earlier years of my ministry, I lived in such a way that I was just like this, whoa, you know, this like energy on uppers, you know, just like always, okay, here's a need. I gotta be there. I gotta cook her dinner. And this person needs this, and I better babysit her kids. I think she's stressed out. That is really exhausting. I don't know if any of you have lived like that before, but when you're always just like nervous energy, you know, like, okay, yes, I'll help them, and oh, over here, you know, it's just like, you know, like, calm down. And, you know, the Lord just, he's gentle with me. He's persistent, but he's gentle with me. And eventually I learned how wrong that was. One, I am not God. So for me to think that I need to be everyone's savior in my circle is kind of elevating myself to that position, if you know what I mean. Like, I must save them. Sandy, you're not God, and you're not the only person that God can send to help them. Relax, you know? A second reason that's wrong is, what was motivating me to do that, right? I know sometimes it wasn't from a pure heart of like, oh, Lord, I just want to bless her. I want to encourage her and help her during this time. Sometimes it was more from wanting to look good, wanting to look godly, you know, and that's really pathetic. You know, like, it's really embarrassing if you can pull yourself back and go, like, what is my motive for trying to help, you know? Galatians 5:16 says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And I have found this to be so true. So sometimes I'm like, I'm not hearing from God like I used to. What is going on? And if I pull myself back and sort of, you know, have a conversation with God and like, Lord, what's going on here? It's often because I've just been doing my own thing. Living out of the flesh, right? Which is sin. And sin clogs up your spiritual ears. And I just find then with unconfessed sin in my life, I can't hear from the Lord like I used to. And I hate living like that. It's not energizing. It's not exciting. And so then just be like, okay, God, I am sorry. Just humble myself. And I am sorry. I've been living like whatever. You know, whatever that sin is, confess it. And it's just, it's so freeing. It's so relaxing. I can hear from him again. And it's not about me then looking good. It's just about, okay, Lord, if you want me to do something simple today, like I shared last night, what I often pray, God, I'll do whatever you ask today. It's just relaxing. Because, okay, it's God's agenda. It's not mine. And I'm not God, obviously, so I cannot see the big picture. I cannot even see what's going on in the spirit world, right? In my own flesh, my own physical. So I need God to show me what he wants me to do. And then to be willing to do a very lowly thing or something that I really enjoy, but just saying, God, I'm going to align myself with you, and I'll do what you want me to do today. And it's been the most freeing thing. Because then it's just like, okay, I know today it's God's will that I'm a good wife and a mom and you know what, but whatever else you send my way, Lord, I'm willing to do it. And it's just been amazing. Like I already told you last night, I'm not techie. I struggle. But anyway, for a while, and I don't know why this was happening, but I was always pocket calling my husband's oldest brother, Bob. Like, always. You know, and I'd be like, I'm in the store, and I'm like, why am I calling Bob again? I was just like, you know, decline, whatever, hang up. I mean, it was always happening. One day, I was like, oh, let me humor him. I'll just answer and say, I'm so sorry, Bob. I pocket called you again, you know. And so I just started chatting with him. And we were just having a nice brother-in-law, sister-in-law conversation. He lives in Ohio. And I just started feeling the Lord saying, pray for him. So I was like, we just kept talking, and just stronger. The Spirit was like, no, you got to pray for him. So I was about ready to wind up the phone call, and I'm like, Bob, do you mind if I pray for you? And he's like, yeah, sure. He's cool. And so I prayed for him, and I got done, and he goes, you prayed exactly what I needed. And I'm like, wow. And then later he texted me the situation, and it was incredible. But that's what I'm trying to communicate, ladies, just the beauty of resting in the Lord, saying, God, I'm going to obey you. Whatever you have for me today, I'm willing to live outside of my own agenda, outside my own ideas. And he will blow your mind. God is so creative. And he knew that Bob was going through something very difficult and needed someone to pray into it. And he wasn't going to share that something with anyone. And so he's like, I can use Sandy and her incredible techie-lessness. You know, like, God can do anything if we're just willing to cooperate with him. Guys, that was so easy. I was doing laundry when this all happened. God used me incredibly. You know, I could have been that morning like, I want to be a superstar missionary, and I'm going to do something big today, and it could have meant nothing to someone. Do you follow what I'm saying? But when you're like, Lord, you use me today to encourage someone the way you see, it's awesome. And it was like that same week or something, my husband Rich was really discouraged. And of course, unknown to his friend, who's a missionary in Colombia, he called Rich and said, I just want to pray for you today. And it was like, oh, he didn't know that Rich was so discouraged. And he prayed for him. It was incredible. So Rich was thinking about a friend. You know, the Lord just brought a friend to his mind who lives in Spain, a missionary. He's like, I'm going to call him up. Chatted with him, prayed for him. A couple days later, that friend reached back to Rich and said, you know what? I had just said to my wife, I wish someone would call and pray for me. That's how God works. And it boosts your faith, and it boosts that person's faith. It encourages both of you. Like, it's a win-win situation. And then you're like, okay, God, I'm in. Just use me. I will do whatever you ask. You know, he's trustworthy. He's faithful. And it really could be what keeps that person from going way down, from losing their faith, you know, as we're reading about in Hebrews. So it's powerful. My last point is this. It's kind of like a flip on the encouragement. It's encourage yourself in the Lord. Now, you might be surrounded by needy, hurting, maybe even spiritually immature women. You know, I don't know what your job's like. I don't know what your situation is. But it could be that you have more needy people in your life right now than you have spiritually and emotionally strong people, if you know what I mean. So now when you hit that discouraging time in your life where you need people to lift up your arms and keep you going, what are you going to do, right? Who's going to encourage you? Maybe loneliness is an incredible reality in your life. So what then? And that's when you have to look at this squarely. And in 1 Samuel 30, King David, when he was going through a hard time, he said, encourage yourself in the Lord. That's what he did. He didn't sit around thinking, all right, you know, everyone's good. They better see what I just went through. This is tough, and they better come. But he knew where to go. He encouraged himself in the Lord. So this is where, ladies, you have to take responsibility for your own emotional and spiritual health. Like, it's not going to work to blame it on your church or your pastor or your husband or your lack of a husband or anything like that. You are going to have to make sure that you're getting enough time with the Lord. You know, you're going to have to do whatever it takes. Like, if it means getting up a half hour earlier, if it means you have young kids and you ask your husband, can you please watch the kids? Can I, whatever. If it means less time on social media, evaluate your life. It's probably going to be different for everyone, right? But you're going to have to make the change so that you take responsibility for your emotional and spiritual health and spend that time with the Lord. And it's just vital. I had a friend who was going through such a discouraging time. She had young kids, but it was just big stuff in ministry where she was so discouraged. She told me later, she said, I would wake up in the morning and I was discouraged. So she would go and get her Bible and she would read until she actually felt encouraged. Like I can do this. And she would go, and she's this amazing woman who does all kinds of things, you know. She would go all morning. By lunch, she was discouraged again. So she said she would pick up her Bible and she would read again until she got encouraged. And it was just a process, weeks, I don't know, months of her doing that every day. Like, she took responsibility for her spiritual health. And she was honest, realizing, I am discouraged, I'm not doing well. But she knew where to turn. And eventually, she said she fell in love with the Word of God like never before. And she was the woman then who ended up volunteering to teach Our Lady Sunday School class, a half-year commitment. She made all her own curriculum, did a whole survey of the Bible. It was incredible. And it was out of that. And she allowed her own discouragement to drive her to the Word of God, to the Lord, over and over and over again, till she fell in love with the Word like never before. And then she was feeding other women, encouraging them. It was beautiful. Also had a friend working in Choice Books, and he shared with the church one Sunday, he's like, you know, one day this week, he had done something that he sinned or something, and he got really down on himself. And then it was like, okay, yeah, God. You know, we know truth. So often we know the truth. So he's like, I preach the gospel to myself all the way to Connecticut. And I was like, isn't that beautiful? You know, like, we have the tools. Like, if we've been Christians for a long time, we often know what to do, right? We have the tools. But it's taking responsibility for ourselves and being like, no, don't go down that road, Sandy. What does the Word say? What can I do? Because sometimes you have to just encourage yourself in the Lord. I like this quote from Larry Crabb. He says, the character of an encourager must be strong. It must be molded and hardened in the fires of loneliness when no one but God is there. If during our moments of deepest loneliness, we abandon ourselves completely to God, depending on Him to minister to us, we will meet God. Our deepest parts will be strengthened. Our character will become rooted in His resources. So, ladies, I just want to say, if you find yourself in that state of loneliness right now, don't waste it. Instead, go to God. And while we definitely need people to minister to us, there are sometimes what you're going through where all you have is God. And I remember a day like that in the year 2010. I remember sitting on our back porch and just crying out to the Lord and being like, Lord, all I have is you. Like that particular day, I really felt like I couldn't tell anyone the deep anguish in my heart. But I had God, and he was enough. And that year, while it was the hardest year of my life, when I kept my eyes on the Lord, you know, there was many times I failed, but he was all I needed, and he pushed me, and he grew me, and he did incredible stuff in me that year. So don't waste that loneliness. Don't waste that pain. If you can, find a mentor, someone who can, like I like to say, who is bigger than you spiritually or emotionally, if you know what I mean, like more mature. And even if it's someone who doesn't live near you, you know, we have technology. You can do a once a month phone call. You can email, whatever. But do what it takes so that you don't stay at this spot complacent or whatever. So you keep growing. In closing, I want to remind you, remember that mature and emotionally and spiritually healthy people, people in leadership that you admire, maybe they're older than you, they need encouragement too. Because sometimes, ladies, it's the squeaky wheel that gets the oil. Do you know what I'm saying? Like we always, you kind of know the big needs. You kind of like, oh yeah, we need to zone in and really keep encouraging her. But what about your pastor's wife? Like I think often those people are overlooked. And to my shame, I look back years ago when I was not the lead pastor's wife. And I actually remember thinking this or saying this, and this is terrible, but confession is good for the soul. Like I remember saying, you know what? It's Carolyn's birthday, but she's mature. She won't care if we don't plan her a party. Really, Sandy? You know, like, once you get to a leadership position like that, you learn what it feels like, and you learn that you're always giving, and that people do just kind of view you as you're mature. You can handle it. We'll throw a party for someone else. So don't forget the people in your life like that who are also going to need that encouragement. Remember our definition of encouragement? It's the kind of expression that helps someone want to be a better Christian, even when life is rough. And I challenge you, ladies, go to the places of pain in relationships, in your marriage, or your ministry, in your church, and ask yourself, if you can, if you will, or if you want to even, to offer encouragement to that person. And maybe it's the person who's left your church. Maybe it's the person who's hurt your husband. Maybe it's like, that's real pain that I'm sure some of you know what I'm talking about. And for me, those places are much harder to encourage. Like I said, you know, the person who's messed up, it's much harder to offer them encouragement, but they're going to need it more. And this definition of encouragement has helped me so much because when I pull myself back and I go, but Sandy, even though they've hurt you or even though they've disappointed you, don't I want them to keep growing in their faith in Jesus? Even if it's not that they stay in my church or whatever. I mean, I should. If I don't, man, I need a lot of help. You know, like if that's really, if I am essentially just kind of wishing them bad and I hope they figure out what they left, you know, I don't know, whatever. No, push yourself towards that person in blessing them, in praying for them. It doesn't mean you have to agree with everything they did, right? But ultimately, you should want them to keep growing in their relationship with Jesus. And you might be surprised how effective and powerful your acts of encouragement can be. And remember, God always blesses your obedience. Even if you don't see it right now, he does. Trust him because he's faithful. And be women of encouragement. Thank you.